Hello, this is Elder Brandon Hartfield. We're thankful to have this opportunity to come and be on the radio broadcast again this week. We're thankful for each one of you that listen, and certainly for those of you that know the Lord, we desire your prayers that we could accomplish God's will even in the message. Before we get started, again, I do want to mention yesterday was September 11th, and we certainly want to remember that time. I know 20 years ago, things were a lot different. September 12th, 20 years ago, we were a different nation. And we were seeking to help each other and to all look at each other as Americans. And that's been a lot different. I think it's been designed that way. I think there's people that desire to divide people over many different things. And Satan loves confusion. He loves division. He is the author of confusion. And we certainly need to remember that as we go forward in life. The Word of God is what takes away confusion. And we need to look to it that we could be the people that God would have us to be. And we need to make sure that we learn the lessons of the past. There's a lot more coming. We as God's people need to be unified on Christ and His Word and not be like the rest of the world. And I pray that we won't be. But again, we certainly want to remember the anniversary of that. That was 20 years ago yesterday. And certainly remember those that are still grieving over the loss of their loved ones. We want to get to the message today. Go and turn to the book of 1 Peter chapter 3. But before we read, we do want to look to the Lord in prayer. To Heavenly Father, as we come to You this day, Father, we're so thankful for the many wonderful things that You've done for us. Father, You've been so good to us, so much better than we deserve. And Father, we pray that You would lead, guide, and direct in the service. May Your will be accomplished, Father. Father, we pray that You would draw the lost to Your Son as only You can. Help us as Your people to walk close to You. And Father, for the good that is accomplished, let us step aside and give You the praise, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we come today, as we said, we're going to turn to the book of 1 Peter chapter 3. I want to pick up in verse 10. It says, "For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile." One of the most dangerous things that we have is the tongue. And in our day and time, I think oftentimes we think, well, just the tongue. Our actions can speak things. A lot of communication is not just done with lips. And of course, now you've got text messaging, you've got Facebook, Twitter, and all these other sites. And there's times that I think that we say things before we think about them. And we need to be careful with that. There is a lot of anger and bitterness in this world. There's a lot of sin as it has grown in this world. And if we're not careful as God's people, we'll act out of malice, revenge, hatred, instead of acting out of speaking the truth in love. And we need to make sure, always want to be standing on the truth, but also want to be in the right spirit standing on the truth. I don't want to use the truth as a weapon. I want to use the truth as a way to bring people to repentance. And how we use the Word of God is important. And we want to use it correctly. And I don't believe in compromising the truth in any way, shape, form, or fashion. You'll never hear me state that. But there are some people who try to use the truth for their own political reasons. And whether that's personal politics or whether that's politics out in the world, there's people that use it for their own gain. We can't do that. We can't do that as God's people. The truth just has to stand on the truth. Sometimes the truth cuts us. Sometimes the truth makes us go, man, I got to go apologize to somebody. The truth is just the truth. It has no agenda. And we need to stand upon it. But we need to be careful with our tongue that we use it for the purpose of edifying and the purpose of encouraging the work of God and upholding the work of God and not upholding ourselves or even holding up a political party in this world, because that's not the purpose of it. We're just abiding in the truth. He says, let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. Ensue it. I mean, to go after it with everything we got. We're to eschew evil. I don't want evil anywhere around me. The Bible teaches us to avoid even the appearance of evil. And you know, there's some things that I'd be made fun of in this world, and I don't mind it. You know, I'll give a little thing from several years ago that came up. My wife had one of her friends drop by, and I was by the house myself. This is before we had kids. And I met her friend outside and gave her whatever thing that she was needing of my wife's, and she didn't come in the house. And my wife asked me about that. She said, I heard that she didn't come in the house, and you just met her outside. And I said, yeah. I said, I didn't want anybody to think. And she said, oh, I know my friend. She would never do that. And I said, it's not about you knowing your friend. And it's not about you trusting me either. I said, I'm trying to witness to some of our neighbors around here. I said, what do they think if they see a woman go into our house while you're gone for 20, 30 minutes while you're not here? I said, what might go through their mind? I said, I'm trying to get them to church. I'm trying to get them to Christ. I said, it doesn't matter what the truth is. I said, if they have some thought go through their mind, well, I saw that woman go in with him and she stayed in for 20, 30 minutes and they have an assumption of something going wrong. I've hindered my witness with them. It doesn't matter what the truth is. Perception means a whole lot to people, doesn't it? That's why the Bible said to even avoid the appearance of evil. And that's what we're to do. And I've told people where I pastor, listen, I will not counsel, you know, a woman without at least somebody else being present. Doesn't mean they have to be in the same room, but there's going to be a witness somewhere. You know how many ministers have had their ministry torn down by an accusation? My wife will be nearby, or somebody else trustworthy in the church will be by. There's going to be more than just one witness. I know a minister that had a hard time for years because a woman made an accusation. And he said for years, he said, nothing happened. I was just talking to her. I was counseling her and nothing ever happened. But how does he prove that? I'll tell you, the devil's used a lot of things to tear people down. And we got to be careful about where we're seeing that and what things that we're taking part in. We need to eschew evil. We need to be like Joseph back in the book of Genesis. You remember Potiphar's wife desired to lay with him? And even when she grabbed his clothes, listen, I will run out naked before anybody's going to say that I tried to be with that woman. That not what he did? She took the garment off of him. And he ran. You say, well, he ended up in jail. He did. Well, let me ask you this, because he eschewed evil. And this goes back to even what we preached last week about being a doer of the word. Because he was abiding and wanting to be a doer of the word, did God not bless him later on? Sometimes we might have to suffer while for doing right. But he eschewed evil. It's also a thing about Job that God noticed. He eschewed evil. He won't be anywhere near. There's a lot of God's people today who want to play around with sin. Want to flirt with it a little bit. Play with it a little bit. Joke about it a little bit. God said we're not to laugh about the things that they even do in secret. A lot of that Bible we're missing. But we're to eschew evil. We're to do good. We're to seek peace and ensue it. And that seek peace there means seek the truth. The truth matters. My agenda, what's best for me, doesn't matter. God's will matters. He said, "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears are open unto their prayers." Do you know that God will not hear while we're living in sin? Oh, there's plenty of Bible for that. I can even so mistreat my wife that we might even still be married, and I might not have committed adultery on her. But because we're not on the terms that God wants us on, do you know He says that that can hinder our prayers? How I love my wife matters to God? How I raise my children matters to God? How I do my work at my job matters to God? And it affects my prayer life? And when we're living in righteousness, He says He's open. His ears are open to their prayers. He says, "But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil." Fornication, adultery, homosexuality, murder, theft, covetousness, idolatry. And you could go down and continue in that list. We can't live in sin and God be honored with it. There's people that curse all the day long and then, "Oh, I got this great prayer life with God." No, you don't. That doesn't fit Scripture. You might have a good prayer life with the god of this world, Satan. But you can't have a good prayer life with God while you're living against His Word. That does not fit Scripture. You can't act sexual all day long and be in lewdness and God be honored with what you're doing. It doesn't work that way. He hears those that are righteous. He's against those who are living wickedly. He says, "And who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? But and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled." Notice verse 14. He's saying, "What can man do to you?" They could kill me. What does it mean when a saint dies? When a child of God dies, what does that mean? Last time I checked Scripture, if somebody kills me for the gospel of Christ, I go to be with God. I go to be with Him because I've trusted in Christ, not because of that one little stance, but because I put my faith in God. But if death comes for me as a child of God, what does that mean? And trust me, I'm not looking for death. I'm not going to foolishly tempt God. That would go against Scripture. But if I'm standing for God and doing what God would have me to do, and I get stoned to death like Stephen did, what does that mean? It means I'm going home. Somebody's really going to terrify me with death? Death shouldn't be something that moves a Christian. We shouldn't be afraid of death. Again, that doesn't tell us to act foolishly. It doesn't mean we're to foolishly tempt God and go running like crazy and do foolish or ignorant, dumb stuff. That's not what it's saying. You know, it'd be foolish if I tried to jump out of an airplane without a parachute. No, that'd be foolish. That's foolishly tempting the Lord thy God. If I jump out saying, "Well, God's going to protect me." No, that's just foolishness. I'm trying to make things about me instead of about God. Well, listen, if I'm doing the will of God and God says, listen, I want you to go over here and preach. And I go, God, that's a pretty rough community. Those people over there, they don't receive the gospel well. God, I could get harmed. Well, if I'm afraid to go do what God is telling me to do, there's a problem. If I'm afraid to live righteously and holy and godly, there's a problem. And the problem is, I'm more concerned about what man might do than what God might do. I'm more concerned about serving men than serving God, or the acceptance of people over the acceptance of God. And that's a bad place to be. In fact, the Bible says that we're to be happy if you suffer for righteousness' sake, not for pride's sake, not for political reasons or other things, but if you suffer for doing God's will, righteousness' sake, upholding the doctrines and principles of God, happy are ye. And we're not to be afraid of their terror. Neither be troubled. Don't even let it concern us. I like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when you go back and study in the book of Daniel. How you know they were told to worship some false image when the music played and they wouldn't bow down. And the king comes and he says, I'm going to play that music one more time. And they said, no need. That was basically what they said when they said, we're not careful to answer you in this matter. What they were saying was, don't waste your time. We're not bowing. That fiery furnace over there that you've got prepared for us, that doesn't bother us. That doesn't strike fear in us. The same way a den of lions didn't strike fear into Daniel. I'm going to serve God. And you can kill me. You can torture me. You can do all kinds of things to me. But I'm not stopping serving God. Nothing you do or say will trouble me. Nothing you do or say will strike fear into me. I could lose my job. So what? I could lose my house. I could lose the ability to put food on the table. Do we trust God? He said if we had put first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, then all these other things shall be added unto us. He didn't say we'd have a nice house. He didn't say we'd have nice clothes. He didn't say that we'd have gourmet or nice food, did he? He said, but he'd take care of our necessities. Sometimes that roof over our head might be a homeless shelter somewhere. Sometimes that roof over our head might be tin. Sometimes that food that we're eating, it might be just a little cup of rice or a little piece of cake. Might not be much at all, but it'll be enough to sustain us. It'll be enough to get us by. Sometimes the clothes on our back might look a little raggedy and rough, but they'll keep us warm. We need to stop being afraid of what this world might do unto us. And we need to let the fear of God be within us. That we're more concerned about not serving Him. We come from a long list. If you're a Bible-believing Christian, there's a long list of people that have died for the gospel. Some of them lived 2 weeks after they were baptized. And they knew that they were going to die quickly. And they still professed the gospel. Because a world without the gospel in it was not a world that they wanted to live in anyway. And they also preached it because they knew the people listening to it needed it. And you know that the gospel spread more in that time than any other? during times of persecution, during times of hardship. And probably because we had to spend so much time just depending upon God. Because persecution and hardship were coming. When we suffer for righteousness' sake, we should be happy. Happy are ye. Be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. They're looking at you facing death and facing all those things of life being taken away from you that they value so much, and they see that it doesn't have value with you. And they say, how can you hope when you're facing death? How can you smile and rejoice like Paul and Silas did, being beaten and thrown into the innermost part of the prison? How can you still sing praises unto your God after that? Because they know that their home is not here. They have a city whose builder and maker is God, and that's what they're looking to. Peter and John rejoiced when they were beaten, that they were counted worthy to suffer for the cause of Christ. Jesus suffered for them. Is it not reasonable that we should suffer? Jesus told us that we would suffer. All those that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. There's a lot of Christians say, don't preach that. Don't tell me about that. Oh, that's bad news. The Bible says it should be happy news. I'm suffering for the cause of Christ. Happy are ye. And the reason is because during that time, I get to reflect Christ within my body. I get an opportunity to show them where my hope is. He said, for it is better if the will of God be so that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometimes were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a-preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. He goes on even into chapter 4. He said in verse 12, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. So this isn't a such strange thing. It's something that should come to pass. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. And what he's getting to there is because we're willing to suffer for Christ, what we've done is we've laid up treasure in heaven. We've laid up even more reason to rejoice. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part evil is spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. When we suffer for the name of Christ, when we are abiding in his righteousness and not fighting things from a fleshly standpoint, but from a spiritual standpoint, and we endure sufferings as a good soldier of Christ, and we allow his light to be seen within us, the glory of God is shown in that. He gets glory through it. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief, or as an evildoer, as a busybody, or in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Dear friend, it's a good thing to suffer as a Christian. Now somebody wants to say, oh, you're a murderer and you're this and I haven't done anything. I will defend myself forevermore. But somebody says, I'm going to punish you because you're a Christian. Well, then that's an honor. That's something to rejoice about. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? We need to remember that the reason that we're suffering is because we do endure that contradiction of sinners because we want them to be saved. You say, but they're so mean and they're so vile. Why should I want them to be saved? Because God saved us when we didn't deserve it. And we're to show them that love even though they don't deserve it. We're to share with them the truth and uphold the truth and not to seek personal vengeance because we want Christ to be seen within us. We want the gospel to be seen and we want people to be saved. Dear friend, we don't go looking for trouble. We don't go looking for problems. We don't try to foolishly tempt the Lord our God. Those things we don't do. But if God leads us somewhere and He has us to uphold the truth and uphold the gospel, and it leads to our suffering, then we trust that God's got a will and purpose in it. What if it means my death? Do you believe God will have a will and purpose in that if He's the one that led you there? Whether that means you're preaching in a foreign country or whether that means you're preaching down the road, preaching to your neighbor, wherever it's at. The gospel is what matters. And we need to remember as God's people, we don't mumble and grumble and complain about these things. We rejoice that the gospel is being spread and that people are hearing it. And it might be that somebody who even wants to stone us to death, I'll remind you that Saul of Tarsus is the one that consented unto the death of Stephen. The same man that consented unto his death is the same man that would later be the Apostle Paul spreading the gospel and suffering persecution himself. And he said, these are but light afflictions. We don't know how God's going to work. We don't know what all God's going to accomplish. We need to follow His Spirit. And we need to understand that just because we're being made fun of, rebuked, rejected of men, even threatened with death, death should not move a child of God. Don't be afraid of their terror. Neither be troubled. Keep your faith in God. Keep your trust in Him. And let that hope of the gospel be seen in everything that you do, in everything that you go through, that souls could be pointed to Christ while there's time and opportunity. We pray this could be a blessing and encouragement. If you'd have anything upon your heart, our number is 601-606-4681. You can write us, Brandon Hartfield, 8 Smith Drive, Hattiesburg, Mississippi, 39401. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that You'll take this message, use it to Your honor and glory, and Father, for the good that is accomplished, let us step aside and give You the praise, for it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.